The subject, as you see in your programs, is the human voice as a model for violin performance. What can we learn about violin playing from listening to the voice? We will see that some of the things that are most important to a violinist may be learned from the voice. Let's begin with basics. Why do we study the violin? Sometimes I will encounter a young student who is, or perhaps his parents are, so focused on winning a contest or preparing for an audition to get a good seat in the school orchestra, maybe a little overly focused, and it is as if the violin playing itself were a mere means to these ends. So I think it's very important that although we want to take advantage, I'm speaking to parents and teachers, that we want to take advantage of incentives which are outside of music, anything that will encourage study is good. Nonetheless, we need to keep our perspective, and as far as I'm concerned, studying the violin only makes sense if you are first and foremost a music lover. Study the violin if you love to listen to beautiful violin playing very, very much. And from that love, you are itching to do it yourself. I'll tell you why I play the violin. Because it touches my heart. Because it's like magic. Because it can make me cry. Because it communicates things that words cannot convey. It makes one feel that he's not alone. Listening to great violin playing, you are assured that another human being, the artist to whom you're listening, has felt what you feel. I think these are the healthiest reasons to study the violin, if this is the way you feel, or if a child growing up can gradually cultivate this feeling. When I'm moved by a certain note or a certain moment in a performance, in a recording, I feel like a kid who's watching a magician. I have to know, how did he do that trick? The emotion wasn't conveyed by mental telepathy. It was conveyed by sound. I need to identify what I'm hearing that put the feeling into the performance. And I've been asking, how did he do that trick since I was 7 years old, which was a long time ago. And I ask it, I continue to ask it every day, because it is such a useful question to be inspired by a beautiful performance. And if it's good, your reaction is not intellectual, it's emotional. And then you want to, because you're a violinist yourself, try and figure out how that emotion was conveyed to you. When I think I found one more answer to my lifelong question, how do we convey emotions with a violin? The answer is most often that the feeling was conveyed by the violin imitating the human voice. The great violinist Nathan Milstein said, "The violinist's dream is to imitate the human voice." Your friend sends you an email. The email says, "My cousin is coming to visit us for a week." What do you know from this email? You know that his cousin is coming to visit for a week. That's it, nothing more. But now imagine, instead of sending an email, he calls you on the phone. And he says it like this: "My cousin is coming to visit us for a week." What do you know? What do you know that you didn't know from the email? Oh, plenty. On the other hand, maybe he calls you up and he says, my cousin is coming to visit us for a week. Oh, that's something different. emails on the phone, why did you know more about his thoughts and feelings from the phone call? I would say the answer could be one word, music. But you'll say, that's not music, he didn't sing. When you picked up the phone, he didn't say, my cousin's coming for you, go through that. So why do I call it music? I say that speaking as well as singing is music. When you speak, you use your tone of voice, your timing, your emphasis, your pitch, and your volume to put your feelings into the words. What do you call the use of tone, time, emphasis, pitch, and volume to communicate feelings? There you go. I believe that we, all people, are wired since infancy to respond to subtle musical cues in the human voice. We are sensitized to sounds in the speaking voice which reveal the emotions of the speaker. I also believe that violin playing, which stirs our emotions, is full of these same emotion-stirring speech sounds. I'm going to give specific examples shortly. In fact, expressive violin playing uses these emotional cue speech sounds as a prime means of conveying feeling. Dogs seem to respond more to the music in a person's voice than they do to the words. If I call out to my beagle, Marlene, do you want a dog biscuit? She immediately zooms in from the opposite end of the house. But what happens if I change the words but keep the rhythm, the pitch, the tone the same, and instead I say, Marlene, did you read the theory of relativity? What's she gonna do? She's gonna zoom in from the other end of the house to get a dog biscuit. So I wonder whether infant humans, that is, not puppies, also respond to the music in the voice before they respond to the words. Parents in the audience may have had an experience when your child is maybe 4 or 5 months old, and two parents are not far from the crib, and from the crib they hear somebody saying, something is being repeated. It sounds like he's saying something, it sounds like a sentence. And one spouse said to them, did you hear that? It sounds like he's talking, and then he says again, if you hear it about the third time, you realize that's nonsense, it's gibberish. So I think what's happening is that he's picking up on all these musical sounds before he's even saying his first word. Now I'm going to give some examples of improving one's playing by imitating speech with the violin, in which case I'll make the improvement by patterning my playing after speech sounds. Different way of playing it. feel like the second way better. And to make the improvement, I patterned my playing after the voice in this way. I did something with changes of volume from note to note, the second time only, which resembles, to my ear, a British speech as compared, say, with American English. Or the worst case example, where I come from, Bronx English. It's about the polar opposite of British speech, I think. I'll show you what I mean. Someone, and I'll gradually relate this to what I did with the violin a moment ago. Someone from the Bronx, and then someone from England, are both asking the same question. And the guy from the Bronx says, "Are you going to movies?" Can you understand that down here? "You go to movies?" Now, the fellow from England says, "Are you getting to movies?" So if we listen to that with our violinist ear, with the musicians here, I think what we hear is the first example, the Bronx speech, the weak syllables and the strong syllables are all strong syllables. There are no weak syllables. It doesn't have much contour. So everything is about equally loud, especially when you listen very quickly from one syllable to the other. Movies, about the same, move and bees. But if you listen as if you were listening to music and listen to the volume changes in the British accent, it's enormously different. "I gave to the news." So V's of movies, the last syllable in the sentence, is almost not heard. "I gave to the movies." "I gave to the movies." Moo is emphasized, but V's is almost inaudible. So some people feel that when they hear someone with a British accent, that person's IQ goes up 10 points. but it is, certainly as compared to the way people speak where I come from, a more expressive way of speaking. I can't deny that. And that's really what I was doing in the demonstration with the theme from the Bronx, and it was the first time. Which is basically the same pattern that I just used to improve the excerpt on the violin. So, supposing somebody says, this would be an example of one can say a sentence and almost, without changing one word, almost make the meaning of the sentence the opposite, just by the phrasing, without changing any words. So here's the sentence the first time. I went to Baltimore, Washington, New York, Boston, Chicago. Second time, I went to Baltimore, Washington, New York, Boston, and Chicago. So if you heard someone say the first time, it's a totally different message. The first time, he's telling you, I'm exhausted. I really wish I didn't have to do all this travel. But the second time, it's the opposite message. He's saying, oh, I was so excited. I loved to go to these cities. And look what I did. I went to all of these cities right in a row. The opposite message. But how do you know that? How is that conveyed? So if you want a single musical term, I would say accelerando, which means I was speeding up the beat. And that's what we do all the time. You do it, everybody does it. And if you're enthusiastic about something, you make an accelerando while you speak. It's natural. And if you're not so enthusiastic, example I often give my students is, if I tell you, I had spaghetti on Monday, I had spaghetti on Tuesday, I had spaghetti on Wednesday, I had spaghetti on Thursday. Opposite message, without changing one word. I had spaghetti on Monday, I had spaghetti on Tuesday, I had spaghetti on Wednesday, I had spaghetti on Thursday. Our dialogue.
Escape and
so they brought you to a distant land and a long ago time, and of course people like that. So one way of describing the two different ways that I play was, I think the first one sounded a bit more romantic in that, and we do this with our voice. If you're saying something that's very much here and now, you tend to use, and people pick up the signal from you, you tend to use a voice that doesn't have a whole lot of airiness in it. I'll show what I mean. And if, on the other hand, if you're talking about something romantic in the old sense of the word, something long ago, something far away, something wonderful, something elevated, something spiritual, you convey that feeling without any intent. You change your voice, I think. And you do what we, with the musical term, would be sospirando. I think that's a beautiful word. Sospirando. And sospirando means to sing with a breathy voice. So I'll give you an example of how we reveal our emotions. If I'm saying to somebody, would you hand me that screwdriver over there, please? Hand me that screwdriver, would you? That's the tone. But if I'm telling you, I heard a marvelous recital of Misha Elman way back in 1961 in Carnegie Hall. So notice the two tones. And it would be funny if I reversed them. I said, would you hand me that screwdriver? It's strange. And on the other hand, if I told you, I heard a wonderful recital of Misha Elman in 1961. It was fantastic. You wouldn't believe me. So we reveal our emotions through sospirando, and we talk about something that's long ago and far away, or elevated and out of the physical world. We tend to make our, if you're telling a story, maybe a ghost story, you say, 300 years ago, the other side of the world, a tiny village in the Carpathian Mountains. So you talk like that. But if you tell the story 300 years ago in a tiny village, people won't be transported. I'll conclude with some advice to violin students. I know there are a number of them here tonight. To sort of sum up, I urge you to listen to the finest examples of violin playing a lot. Build up a big library of CDs of great performances and be discriminating. You know, get to know what's really good. Don't buy Tchaikovsky concerto just to buy Tchaikovsky concerto. The important thing, if you're a violinist, is who's playing Tchaikovsky concerto. And if you were studying to be a writer, you would read Dickens and Shakespeare and everybody else. You'd be very well read. If you're serious about being a writer, you'll be very well read. If you're if you're studying to be a violin makers go to great lengths to try to apprentice someplace or work someplace where they can have some contact with the greatest examples. Where through that shop there are Stradivarius and Guarnieris that they can see and they can touch. That's a priceless experience. So you as a violinist, you want to expose yourself to the greatest examples in mass quantity. By lots of Heifetz records is what I'm saying in short. and some others I could recommend. And when you do this, you'll hear that the artists who speak to your heart, which I'm maintaining is the purpose of it all, are the ones who speak to your heart, are the ones who model their violin playing